There ain't no place to hang out. You got to get through it. Amen. I thank God for the musicians and just stir the people up. The Word of God says we ought to stir up the gifts. Sometimes you just need to stir them up. God didn't call us to sit. He called us to be ambassadors. The Word of God said we are His workmanship, created unto good works. Amen. I thank God for the church and I thank God for all that are here.
Amen.
Thank God for shaking somebody up this morning. Somebody had to struggle to get here, and I thank God for the struggle. Satan gave us a whole lot of excuses not to come to the house of God, but glory be to God, and we're here. We got a lot to do today. But nothing more important than the Word of God. And God's Word is good. Let's stand and turn to Ephesians. We've been in Ephesians for the last 6 weeks. We're going to finish out this great prayer request of Paul found in verse 18. And we're going to start at 12. And we're going to read until 19. 12, chapter 1 of Ephesians, verses 12 through 19. And when I hit 18, just really look at the three requests that Paul makes. And these are three requests that we all need to be mindful of, for lack of a better word. Amen. Ephesians chapter 1. Verses 12 through 19. We did verse 12 pretty good today. It says that we should be to the praise of His glory. Who first trusted Christ. In whom you also trusted. After that ye heard the word of truth. In whom ye also trusted. After that, ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. Unto the praise of His glory. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling. And what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. And that in what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe according to the working of His mighty power.
Amen.
Father God, we need your mighty power.
Yes, sir.
Father God, we're dealing with things today that only the mighty power of God can deal with.
Thank you. Amen.
Father God, we ask right now that you would just open up the eyes of our understanding.
Thank you.
That we also, like the Ephesians, would know what is the hope of His calling.
Yes,
and Father God, you have to prepare us through the Word. Prepare us through the preached word of truth that we may be the glory of your inheritance. That we will be valuable to you. And then when we step into heaven, you will say, well, well done, my good and faithful servant. And Father God, somebody today may accept Jesus Christ this day and let their service start. Let not one person leave here thinking that, well, I served the devil so long, God don't need me. Father God, we pray right now that there is not one person in this place that you will not call to service on this day. So we pray right now, Father God, that hearts and minds would be blessed by the preaching of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Amen. Amen. We've been in this prayer in verse 18 for a couple of weeks now. And we talked on the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. And that word enlightened means it's a picture of a dark place. And then floodlights just hit it. And when we're lost and we don't know the Lord, our hearts and our minds and our souls is a dark place. Okay, when you're lost, you love darkness. When the lights come on, you don't like the light. Because the light reveals the issues that we all have. Notice I said we all have. And when you're getting surgery done, they don't do it in the dark. The surgeon needs light. And you'll hear him say, give me a little light so I can see what I'm doing. You don't want to get surgery done in a dim room. They take the wrong thing out. You heard people going in and they taking the wrong things out. God is the great physician. So we see in verse 18, Paul is praying for this church, like I pray for this church, that your eyes, that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. Amen. That you would know right from wrong. Yes. That you would have discernment, that you would be able to see evil from a distance. You don't have to get so close to it.
There you go.
Turn on the life lights.
Amen.
And then Paul says that you may know what the hope of his calling is. And see, people, we take that word hope and we trivialize it and we trifle with it and we play with it. Oh, I hope you'll be all right, or I hope all everybody in here go to heaven. Well, hoping like that ain't gonna get you to heaven.
Amen.
This hope that Paul was talking about was a prepared hope.
Yeah.
Okay? It wasn't some fake hope. It was a ready hope. It was a purified hope that you know he's coming. If you knew God was coming.
Uh-huh.
Some of us, we order appliances or we order a furniture. And when we know that furniture people are coming, they'll say, well, we'll be there from between 10 and 2. You sitting there in anticipation. You waiting for the knock on the door so that you can get this furniture that you're waiting for. That's the type of hope God is saying. Now, if you have the biblical hope, when God's saying, when you say, well, I hope that I go to heaven, well, it ought to be a ready hope. It ought to be a purified hope. It ought to be a hope that while you're waiting for him, you're living a life of holiness and sanctification. So we talk about an eternal hope. That hope is based on eternity. I some of you know and some of you don't know that I work at a prison and I work a unit of 250 inmates. And I got a new unit and I got some young brothers come in my office every day with their Bibles. They say, I heard you's a preacher. And they come in with the Bibles. And they sit down and they start talking to me and asking me questions about the Word of God. And I got this one young brother come in and he just loved the Word of God and on fire. And I'm looking, I'm saying, well, maybe God's preparing. I say, how much time are you doing, brother? He said, well, I went in and I could have took 13, but I took it to trial and they gave me 40. I say, well, you know, you subtract 40 from 10,000 times 10,000, and what you get. Okay? I say, this block need a preacher. Okay? I say, this block need a preacher. You got 124 folks in here that need to hear the word of God. So I say, you need to start your Bible study right in this block and start preaching to these brothers right in this unit.
Amen.
And he looked at me, and I said, that's right. That's why you're here. And he kept on talking. He kept on talking. That's another story. We got a lot to cover. Pray for that brother.
Amen.
Pray for that brother. Pray for the brothers incarcerated and locked up, that God can use them in that place.
Amen.
And remember when they tell you they're doing 99, it's a 99 minus 10,000 times 10,000.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't nothing. Do you have that kind of eternal hope? Look at this last one. This one, Sylvia was in my business on Wednesday night. She said, how you ask? See, when your church come out like they do on Wednesday night, the folks, they come out, they want to hear the word of God. We stay here, we preach and teach, and we have a good time on Wednesday nights.
Amen.
And they get in my business, because I'm not a Saturday night special type preacher. I'm pretty much straight down the text. You can pretty much know I'm going to be preaching on 19 and 20 next week. I'm not jumping all over the place, you know, making up stuff as I go. And usually by Tuesday, I'm pretty much ready to go. As I rest on Monday and Tuesday, Wednesday, then Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, I'm ready. I'm ready.
Yes, sir.
We're going to talk about heaven today.
Amen.
We're going to talk about heaven. We don't hear enough about heaven. Silver said we don't hear enough about heaven. And we hear a lot about hell, but we don't hear enough about heaven. Satan don't like talking preaching about heaven. Because heaven is a wonderful place.
Yes.
Amen.
Heaven is a beautiful place. Look at verse 18. Look at the last part of it. I guess that would be part C. He said, "What? And what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints." Now, what the word of God is saying is God has an inheritance in us.
Yes.
Okay? So when we get to heaven, we are God's inheritance. The church is God's inheritance. So to God, the church is valuable.
Yes.
It is valuable. And the word of God has to be preached in the church. We look around our community, we say, what's wrong with the world? What's wrong with the people? Well, I know what God's word says. It says, judgment must begin in the house of the Lord. The judgment's going to begin in the house of God, because God has placed the church on this earth to preach the truth.
That's right.
Well, we don't want to hear the truth. But if you don't want to hear the truth, you can't be saved.
Right.
You can't be saved. You can't be saved under the Mormon doctrine. You can't be saved under the Jehovah Witness doctrine or the Islam doctrine. That's not a Bible. That's not salvation. Somebody said it. There's none other name under heaven whereby a man must be saved.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the name is Jesus.
Yeah.
Paul said we preach Christ and him crucified.
Yeah.
That's the gospel. Now, somebody will say, I don't want to be saved because it's going to cost me something. It sure is.
Amen.
It's going to cost you something to get to heaven. Okay, you can't go to heaven on your own terms. Just get that out of the way right away. Okay, heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. And we're going to flip some pages today. And he said, well, this preacher flipped the pages a lot. That's because I don't have a whole lot to say on my own when I'm up here. Let's turn to John 14. We're going to talk about the glory of heaven. Let's talk about the glory of heaven. How many know heaven is a glorious place? It's a glorious place. Let's talk about the glory of heaven. Look at John 14. This is one you hear all the time. Some of you heard it all the time. I'm not going to expose on it too much. But listen. He said, let not your heart be troubled. It's a shame when saved folks that know the Lord of God, know the Word of God, know the Lord of the Bible, your heart ought not be troubled.
Amen.
And I'm not saying we ought not mourn and we ought not grieve. That's a whole different story. But he said, let not your heart be troubled. Why? Why, John? You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
If it were not so, I would not have told you.
Yes.
I go to prepare a place for you. You ever had a place prepared for you? You ever had somebody invite you over and they're inviting you over and they've prepared a meal for you? They prepared to lavish you with the luxuries, and you got the bubble bath going, you got your reservation, all that. God gonna top all that.
Amen.
He got a place for you. He got a place for you. Look at verse 3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Oh, he's coming again, folks. He's coming again. And I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may what?
Be also.
That's what he told. That's what he told the thief on the cross. Some folks say, "Well, you know, I came to the Lord late, and I came, and I didn't do a whole lot." Listen, listen, listen. The thief didn't do nothing but hang on the cross with Jesus. That's all he could do. He had nails in him too. And Jesus told him, "Today, you'll be with me in paradise." Oh goodness. It's a place of glory. It's a place of beauty. But it's also a place where God will be present. And I have this wonderful scripture. I'm going to flip pages today. I'm just telling you in advance. Isaiah chapter 6. Some of y'all know it. Hang in there if you can. Hang in there if you can. Write them down on your program. Look at this scripture. God's going to be there because it's a place of glory. Ain't that something you can go to courtroom? And isn't it a beautiful thing when you can stand in the courtroom and you know you ain't going to be charged with nothing? That's a beautiful thing. You standing in the presence of God and you ain't being charged with nothing. It says in the year that King Uzziah died, he says, "I saw the Lord." He said, "I also saw the Lord sitting upon a throne." How was he sitting there, Uzziah? High and lifted up. Oh, come on. In his train, filled the temple. That train, man, is his robe of judicial authority, and it filled the temple. Oh my goodness. And above it stood the seraphims. And each one had 6 wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with 2 or twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole world, the whole earth is full of his glory." Look around and you see the glory of God. Look at the person next to you, you see the glory of God. Oh, you don't have to go far to see the glory of God. God is a God of glory.
Yes, he is.
He's a God of glory. Who's going to be in heaven with us? That's a good question. I know that people say, "Well, who's going to be in heaven with us?" Heaven is a, how does the song go? Heaven is a beautiful place. It's a beautiful place. Let's talk about this. Nicodemus came to John in John 3, and 3 came at night. People get on him for coming at night. Well, you know what? At least he came. But he came at night. See, here's how you get to heaven. Who's going to be in heaven? People say, "Who's going to be in heaven? Who's going to be in heaven, Pastor?" Listen. Look at John 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night. So you take that by night in a lot of ways. It came to nighttime in the Bible means trouble. It means a time of trouble. It means a time of turmoil. It means a time of confusion. It also can be nighttime. But this man came at night. He could have been in trouble. He could have been on the run. Who knows? I believe he was confused. And he came to Jesus by night and said unto him, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God." Oh, you've got it all wrong, brother. Oh, he got it wrong. Oh, he's starting off bad. See, when you start off, you can't start off bad with Jesus. He said, "For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." And Jesus said, "Nicodemus, be quiet. That's enough for you. You're the ruler of the Jews, but you ain't my ruler. I'm the ruler of the Jews." And he said, Nicodemus, in verse 3, we talk about the company of heaven. He said, "Nicodemus, listen. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again." That's generic. It's not the masculine, man or woman. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He can't even see it. Now you'll know right now if you're born again, if you can see the kingdom of God. If you can see it, when you're doing stuff that you ought not be doing, can you see the kingdom of God? Or are you just walking in darkness? Your heart of understanding hasn't been enlightened, so you don't really see nothing. You don't have any respect for the things of God. You don't have respect for the house of God. You don't have respect for the people of God or the man of God. Sort of like the Democrats down in wherever they was at, they was going to have a vote if they should put God on the platform. Well, listen, let me tell you something. God don't care about whose platform he on, because he owned the platform. See, we don't need to be sitting here deciding whether we're going to put God on our platform. God is our platform. And you see the kingdom of God. You ain't far from the kingdom of God if you're sitting here. Nobody here is far from the kingdom of God. But it's a sad thing when you sit under the word of God and you come to the Lord saying, Lord, 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 remember me. I did this and I did that. And the Lord said, I never knew you. I never knew you. That's a sad thing. You need to know the Lord. You need to know the Lord. Is he your shepherd? See, Chester digging in my sermon a little bit, and I'm all good with that, because I'm going to look at Psalms 23, because Psalm 23, a lot of folks like it. They say, "Oh, you know what we're going to read?" But we read Psalm 23. They really enjoyed that. You know, listen, let me tell you something.
Come on now.
Psalm 23 is not for your enjoyment. Okay? Psalm 23 is not the funeral verse. Okay? You know, and I go to funerals, they say, well, we need some ministers to read scripture. What do you want to read? Well, they liked it, Psalm 23. Really?
Really?
Read Psalm 23. Listen, I'm going to read Psalm 23.
Come on.
Okay?
Come on now.
And when next time you hear it, you probably hear it at a funeral.
Come on.
The Lord is my shepherd. That disqualifies a lot of folks. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Are you still there? He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still water. He's in control. He has authority over you. If he is your shepherd, he has authority over you. He make you lie down. Well, you don't need to go out tonight. Yes, Lord. You need to get out of that relationship with that girl. Yes, Lord. You need to get you a job. Yes, Lord. You need to behave better in school. Yes, Lord. You need to stop drinking. Yes, Lord. You need to stop cussing. Yes, Lord. You need to stop lying. Yes, Lord. You need to get saved and be baptized. Yes, Lord. Because the Lord is your shepherd. Now, you're still with me today. He restored my soul. That means when you've been in some mess. When you've been in some mess. And all of us been in some mess. Okay, that's just because you're having a baby or you're in trouble, you got a problem, you know, you've been in jail. Listen, he restored your soul. Okay? He restored your soul. Has your soul been restored? You know what it feels like to have a restored soul? You feel cleaned up. You shake the dirt off you. You like blind Bartimaeus when he was on the side of the road, and when the Lord called him and said, Bartimaeus, rise and come to me. First thing he had to do is throw off that robe. He had a jacket to cast it away. Restored his soul. Bible says if we confess our sins. If we confess our sins. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins. Here's the first step to getting your soul restored. Because we are sinners. We are sinners. And we going to sin. There's none righteous. No, not one. We going to sin. And if we don't confess that sin, it'll pile up on us. And then we have to get our soul restored. He leaded me into the path of righteousness. Are you with me? Is he your shepherd? Are you being led in the path of righteousness? When you leave here, when you leave here today, are you going to be on the path of righteousness, or you're heading to the juke joint? That went old school on y'all, didn't it? To the juke joint. I think Deacon Oliver was the only one who knew what I was talking about. Wow. Look at verse 4. Look at verse 4. I don't know how many of y'all still with me. I'm at verse 4. He said, yay. So I walk through. Excuse me. So I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Listen, the key word here is what? Through. Some of us, we settle down. We got a backpack and we unload our backpack in the shadow of death. That's not a place where you unload your backpack and put up a tent in the shadow of death. You got to get through it. You got to get through it. You got to get through it. Don't. This ain't a place to rest. This ain't a place to rest. Oh, I'm resting in the shadow of death. All hell breaking out in my life. And I'm just resting in the shadow of death. Get out of there. Get out of there. Get you some help.
Amen.
Some of us got loved ones just resting in the shadow of death.
Amen.
Oh, comfortable. I'm so comfortable here in the shadow of death. Listen, I will fear no evil. If the Lord is your shepherd, I fear no evil. Nobody's scared of death. The Lord came and the Bible says he took the sting out of death. Ain't nobody scared of dying. If you know how good heaven is, why you were so worried about dying? No word about getting another prescription filled. See, Satan has tricked us. Has tricked us into believing we can just get another pill. Get another pill. Get another pill. Masked in pain. Okay? Listen. We have a divine appointment. Hebrews 9:27 says it is appointed unto man. Okay? Once to die. And after that, the judgment. And like I always say, you can't judge nothing that's dead. You're going to be alive for this hearing. Now, if the Lord is your shepherd, when the Lord of judgment looks at you, what you think he's going to see? He gonna see the blood. He gonna see the blood of the Lamb. He gonna say, "What do you know about my son? Did he play for the Browns? No, that's not the son I'm talking to. Is he in the Hall of Fame? No. We didn't talk about that. See, some of us—that's all we know. We need to know about the Lord. We need to know about the Lord. He said, "I will fear no evil, for thou art." That's the reason. That's the reason. Thy rod and thy staff, they do what? They comfort me. That word comfort there don't mean that's not an easy chair comfort. That word means strength. Thy rod and thy staff strengthen me. See, we don't want to discipline our children anymore. We don't want to say nothing to them. But we need to, that rod strengthens them. Okay? See, that's why Dr. Spock came out with don't spank your kids and gave you 9-1, call your kids 9-1-1. You can't even whoop them no more. Can't put the extension cord on them because the kids are crazy. Look what my daddy did. Tell the teacher. Look at these whips on me. My father would have been under the jail. Look at that sense of glory. He tied knots in it. My mother, go get one of them trees, you know, them trees. Get all the leaves off of it. She tell me to go get it for one of them. I get the biggest one. I say, Tom, you going to get it now, boy. Then when I get in trouble, I hope you get one of the little ones. They took it easy on me. I get in the back of the line. They be tired. I say they be tired when they get to me. That rod and that staff, that word comfort me, it strengthens me, man. We need some strength. These kids need to be strengthened. Let's keep going. Y'all still with me? This is y'all favorite verse. When you hear next time you hear that at a funeral, you ought to think about it. He said, "Thou preparest the table before me." Huh? Where? In the presence of my enemies. Oh, who's your enemies? That's a good question, Deacon Dale. Listen, if you serving God in this world, you got enemies. Folks hate you, they hate Jesus. He said they hated me, they ain't gonna hate you. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, and all who desire to live godly in Christ shall suffer. You leave here today, young woman, young boy, young girl, you leave here today and say, I'm gonna serve the Lord. And your friends are gonna mock you and laugh at you, they're gonna ridicule you. They want you to go to hell with them. And all they saying is, I don't want to go to hell by myself. What's wrong with you? Carload full of folks. On the way to hell. And with the church sit back. And we had a pastor anniversary. And we had Deacon the next day and Deacon's Day and a whole load of folks just going to hell. And all we doing is celebrating pastors and deacons and hello. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointed my head with oil. My cup runneth over. You see, when you get saved, you get anointed. Okay? You get anointed. See, you get anointed. When God saves you, He anoints you. Fills you with His Holy Ghost. See, you got to be filled with the Holy Ghost to get to heaven. So He anoints you. That word anoint means He fills you with the Holy Ghost. See, we don't like to talk about Holy Ghost in the Baptist church, but the Word of God talks about the Holy Ghost. Now, you tell me, are you filled with the Holy Ghost? Okay? See, everyone in here filled with something. Now, if you don't know if you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you're probably filled with the other ghost. But you filled with something. Well, I don't know if I'm filled with the Holy Ghost, but let me tell you, if you don't know, you ain't. Because when He fills you, He changes you. Salvation is a supernatural act of God whereby a man becomes a new creature. Okay? So you're not filled with the Holy Ghost. You know you're not filled with the Holy Ghost. When you was on the streets, you knew when you was drunk.
Amen.
You messed up. You knew you was messed up. Maybe one for you, two for you, three. Maybe somebody took a six pack, but you knew when you was filled. Now, if you feel with the Holy Ghost, you're going to know it. Y'all still with me? Say, I don't know. Well, then look back over your life and think things through. And then you ought to be able to sing like Albertina Walker. I can truly say that I've been saved. I got a what? Do you have a testimony? See, you have to have a testimony. Now, I didn't say test the baloney. See, some of y'all got to test the baloney. Do you have a testimony? Well, what's a testimony? Listen, at verse number 6, you can look back on your life and say, surely goodness and mercy has followed me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord. How long? Do you have a testimony? Has there been a time in your life where you can look back and say, God's goodness and mercy has been with me? I don't even know if you have to look back. Some of us, all we have to do is do this. Now see, some of us done a whole enough stuff in here to be dead, cold in our grave. We've done enough. Some of us, we could have died in sin if it had not been for the Lord. Some of us, even this week, we didn't drove by drunk drivers, and we didn't drove by folks texting on their phone, and God has steered them away from you. God is good, and His goodness and His mercy has followed us. I know it's followed me. This is personal. See, I don't want you to think that you can be saved with your mama's faith or your daddy's faith. You got to have a...
Your own personal faith.
Thank you, sir. Well, we talking about the glory of the company of heaven. I covered that pretty good. Let me cover one more. I got two, but I want to cover one. And look at 1 Peter 2:9. I like 1 Peter 2:9. You know, I like 1 Peter 2:9. Just write it down. You don't have to take it. Because Peter says, this is the people that's going to be in heaven. He says, but you are a chosen generation. You know, it's good to be chose. You know, it's good to be chose. It's bad not to be chose. See, you don't want to get in a position where you ain't chose. He says, but you are a chosen generation. A royal priesthood. You, when God saves you, you become royal. Ain't that something? We can't even fathom what I'm talking about. Are you royalty? You know, I say this. Listen. You're a child of God. You are royalty. You just can't go everywhere. Royalty can't go everywhere. Royalty can't get involved in everything. You royalty. He said you are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Are you peculiar? You ought to be peculiar. When God saved you, you ought to be peculiar. You're something different about you. That's right, I'm peculiar. I'm peculiar. I'm different. You're looking at royalty. God has saved me. He's cleaned me up. He's set me free. He's delivered me from all my sins. I am a new creature in Christ. Therefore, I'm different. I'm peculiar. I'm strange to you because you don't understand me no more. You understood me when I did what you did, but now God has saved me. And I'm different. I've been changed. That's right. That's right. Listen, and here's how you ought to act after He chose you and He's elevated you to royalty and He's called you a holy nation and a peculiar people. Why did He do all that? Why did He do all that? This Bible just speaks for itself. I ain't got to mess with it. That ye should show forth the praises of Him who have called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Listen, when you call your children, you know you got children, they're into something. When God called us, we was into some stuff. And God called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. Have you been called out of darkness into God's marvelous light? Oh, goodness. Answer that question on your own. Listen, I'm going to move on. Oh, my goodness. I can't get to it. Okay, here we go. So you've been called. So somebody might have a question. Say, well, you know, Pastor, what are we going to do in heaven? That's a good question. What are we going to do in heaven? What you going to do in heaven and what you doing down here? Okay, you're going to be singing in heaven. Turn to Revelation 14. Listen, 14:3. This is a wonderful, wonderful text. So people have these questions. Well, what are we going to do in heaven? Oh, I like what Shirley Caesar used to say. She sang it. She said, everybody in heaven wants to be there. See, first of all, before you start worrying about what you're going to do in heaven, you better make sure you want to be there. Because if you don't want to be there, you ain't going. You just ain't going to fall into heaven. Well, you know, these streets of gold. How did I get here? No, you ain't getting there like that. Everybody in heaven wants to be in heaven. You ain't getting there by accident. No, no. What are you going to do in heaven? Look at verse 3. Look at verse 2. Y'all Wednesday nighters know that trick, don't y'all? And I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters. Oh, what a choir this was. And as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. How about that? Harping with their hearts. Oh, so you bring your harp to heaven. See? You can bring your keyboard to heaven. He said, flesh and blood will not enter. He didn't say nothing about you. If you play the keyboard and you're playing it to the glory of God, well, I guess he'd give you probably give you your own solid gold made of jasper keyboard.
Amen.
Man, this is a nice keyboard. Don't even got to play it. You just put your hands on it. Look what they sang. In verse 3, and they sung as it were a new song. How about that? They ain't singing this old stuff. They're going to sing a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and before the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. Listen, let me tell you something. Let's not get all caught up in the 144. We can take that out of context. What he's saying here is going to be a limited amount of folks there, and all that's there are going to be redeemed. How? Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Everybody ain't going to heaven. Everybody ain't going to heaven. Everybody talking about heaven? Ain't going. So they're going to be singing. And then they're going to be serving. You're going to love to serve. Folks in here, you don't like to serve, you're going to have a hard time in heaven. You know? See, we like to consume, you know? But don't nobody like to bust them pots and pans and stick around and sweep. See, in heaven, you're going to be a server. You're going to be a server. Look at chapter 7, verse 15 of Revelations. I don't have a whole lot to say, but this Bible speak clear. Okay? It says, verse 15, therefore they stood before the throne of God. And look what they did, and served him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. And these servants get paid good. They don't need no money. But let's what say, and they shall what? Hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sunlight on them nor any heat. Now look at the last three. Look at the last three. He's talking about the when we serving down here, we get persecuted. We get persecuted. The world get on us. Oh, you're tired. You're giving your money to the church. You can have a new car. You can get you some stuff. You're giving all your money to the church, and you take that persecution down here, and the world hates you down here. But when you get to heaven, can't worry about it. Neither shall the sun shine light on them or any heat. Ain't gonna get the heat of the world. Persecution. Ain't no more. If you really serve. Now, if you ain't getting no persecution, some of us ain't been persecuted. But we ain't doing nothing.
Amen.
Okay? And once you start living for the Lord, the Word of God says in 2 Timothy 3 and 12, he said, all who desire to live godly in Christ shall be persecuted. Persecution is to let you know you're on the right track. See, if you live and you're not getting persecution, you're probably on the wrong track. John Wesley used to tell a story. And he said they wanted to kill John Wesley. And everywhere he went, they threw rocks at him and stones, and they wanted to kill him. And he went a whole week, and didn't nobody throw a rock at him. And he got down on his knees. He said, Lord, am I still in your will? Am I still your man? And God said to him, he said, yes, you are. He raised up and ducked because the rock came flying across his head. See, some of us, we don't get no persecution. And then we get a little bit of persecution, we want to run.
Yeah.
No. Persecution lets you know you're doing the right thing.
Amen.
Don't take it to heart. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. See, we live in a day and age now where the folks want to preach to you. You shouldn't have no pain, no sorrow. Every day is like Friday. Live your best life now. That's from the pits of hell.
Amen.
If you're living your best life now, then you need to shut your Bible and leave. Because
yeah.
Heaven ain't got nothing to offer you.
Right.
If you're living your best life now. I don't know. Let's talk about the joy of heaven. I'm going to close. Let's talk about the joy of heaven. I know this is for me. Look at 21. Revelation 21. This is so wonderful. I could this is a whole sermon, but I'm just touching it. I'm just going to touch it. This is beautiful. This is beautiful here. Yeah, bless Lord. This is beautiful here. We talk about the joy of heaven. The joy of heaven. When I walked in here today, Vernon told me somebody passed away that I knew. You know, and heaven ain't going to be nobody passing away.
Amen.
Okay? We ain't going to, ain't no graves going to be dug. Okay? Look at this. And I saw a new heaven. That's a beautiful thing. Do you see a new heaven? Just do you see a new heaven? Sister Wallace, do you see a new heaven? He said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. In the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. That's what it says. It's gone. It's passed away. And there was no more sea. No more turbulence. No more rough waters. No more pain and suffering. Because it all passed away. And I, John. Now let me stop here. Understand why John was here. On this island of Patmos receiving this revelation from God. The Emperor Domitian had dropped John in a barrel of oil. That's what they did to the disciples back then. And they dropped him in there and he came out of there. And the emperor was terrified and sent him to an island of Patmos filled with barbarians and killers. And God still spared him. No weapon formed against him should prosper. Because until your work is done. Until your work is done, saints of God. He said, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Oh, we just did a wedding here. Wasn't our bride beautiful? Amen. Adorned for her husband. That's a picture of the church. And God is the groom. And it says, and I heard a great voice out of heaven. Saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with man, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Okay, here we go. Here we go. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Now some people say, well, you know what? You know, I thought there wouldn't be no tears in heaven. These ain't tears of pain and suffering. These are tears of joy that God is washing away. These are tears of joy. Why? Why are these tears of joy? Because they're at a place where there shall be no more death. How about that? No more death. No more death. No more best friends dying. No more children dying. No more mothers dying and fathers dying and husbands dying and sons dying and daughters dying. We live in a fallen world. The good die young. The lovely die. The youthful die. There'll be no more death. We won't have to sit at the Dairy Queen and watch another funeral procession. Never have to follow a friend to a graveyard. That's why he's wiping the tears away, because there will be no more. No more funerals to go to. Watch this. And there should be no more death, neither sorrow. No more sorrow. Some of us right now, we're sorrowful because we're not doing what we've done, what we're supposed to do, or we may be in pain, or we may be just in sadness and depression and all the things in our world going on we don't understand. So we live in sorrow. Some of us are sorrow because God has done so much for us and we've done so little for Him.
Amen.
Some of us are sorrow that one day we're going to get sick and die. We don't know where we're going. That's something to be sorrowful about. But I'm here to tell you, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, rest and be assured. You can look death right in the eyes. You can look death right in the eyes and say, death, where is your sting?
Yes, sir. Oh, yes,
See, that's what a pastor is supposed to do. I said this on Wednesday night. You go to a banker. He's supposed to prepare your finance. You go to a financial planner, a banker. He's supposed to prepare your finance so you have some money when you get old. You go to a dentist. He's going to work on your teeth so you can have some teeth when you get old. You go to a doctor. He's going to work on your body, tell you what to do so you can live a healthy, good, long life. But the pastor ought to prepare you for the next step that we all are appointed to. Look what else he says. I'm just going to finish off verse number 4. He said, not only will be no more death, neither sorrow, no crying. No crying. The cry of sorrow. No more wailing. No more grief. No more grief arising from affliction or violence. No more grief because you got a phone call in the midnight hour. Such a boy just got his head blown off. Or your daughter. There'll be no more crying. Crying also means praying. You ain't going to have nothing to pray about. No more long prayers. No more praying. No more. None of that's necessary. That's something to cry about. He said, neither should there be any pain. How about that? Neither should there be any more pain. Pain. Some of us right now in pain. Taking shots. Diabetes. Blood pressure. Cholesterol. Heart disease. Brain disease. Cancer. No more pain. No more sickness. No more shots. IVs. No more bed of affliction. Heaven. Such a beautiful place. How do I get there, Pastor? I want to get to this heaven you're talking about. It sounds so wonderful. It is wonderful. It just don't sound wonderful. It is wonderful. I hate to say this, but I got one more scripture. I'm going to be done.
All right.
Thank you, Deacon. That's what you're there for. Just say it's all right. Do a good job at that. Look at 1 Thessalonians. You don't have to look. I'm just going to read it because I want you to know how to get there. I want you to know about this heaven. Stop me in the hallway. Call the church. I'll tell you more about this heaven. But look at 1 Thessalonians 4 and 13. This is a fascinating verse. You heard this one too. I'm not going to exegete it. But it says in 1 Thessalonians 4:13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again. Let me say that again. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring where? With him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Amen. Heaven is a beautiful place. Heaven is a beautiful place, and it's a place for a prepared person. And I have to ask the question, are you prepared today?